listener-supported KTOO. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan. It's Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Thank you for joining the conversation. You can also join us behind the scenes in the studio via our live stream on YouTube at kto.org/jpmlive. or on KTO's Facebook and Instagram pages. Today, some significant events are coming up around town. Juno Ghostlight Theater is here to share about their production of Five Women Wearing the Same Dress, which opens next week. The Early Learning Fair is happening Friday. We talk with Izzy from AEYC about this awesome fair that connects families with programs, services, and upcoming activities. The 2025 American Primrose Society National Show and Conference is happening in Juneau this year. We'll get all the details. And we chat with Southeast Alaska Independent Living about their summer program for youth and other upcoming programs and activities. It's a full hour of conversation and more coming up on Juneau Afternoon from KTOO. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from Tlingit Ani and the homelands of the Occoquan. The specific area where our building sits is the ancestral home of the Klenedi, or Dog Salmon people, of the Occoquan. We acknowledge those families of the Klenedi who made use of this land and waterway for thousands of years and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. Listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon from KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. And of course, you can join us behind the scenes on our Facebook, YouTube, or Instagram pages, a live video stream. You can even comment and say hi and interact and ask a question if you want. That's kind of cool. The local community volunteer group Juno Ghostlight Theater presents Alan Ball's dramedy, Five Women Wearing the Same Dress. It opens next week on Friday, May 2nd at McFeeters Hall. I'm joined now in studio by some of the team to tell us more. I have Kylie Ferguson, director of the production. Kylie, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Awesome. I have Hedy Laverne, board president and actor on this particular production. Hedy, nice to see you.
You as well, thank you.
And we have Sarah Wallace, who is also a board member but producer on this particular show. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Excellent to have you here. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have Juno Ghostlight come in the studio and talk about the upcoming projects. I want to start with you, Sarah, because what does it mean to be a producer on a theater production?
Yeah, great question. I'm kind of the wrangler and making sure that everything is happening. The first thing I do is build the team. And so one of the first things we did when we decided to do this show was we wanted to find a director who isn't on our board, someone who else in the community. So we found Kylie. And she connected us with Noah, who is our wonderful stage manager. And so from there, we had auditions, we cast the show, and then we found all of the designers. We have a full design team for this show, sound designer, lighting designer, costume designer. And then I just kind of make sure everyone's, you know, doing their thing, offering help where I can. I manage the budget and all of the fun things like, you know, getting our playbill ready and our marketing and stuff. So it's been really great just helping people thrive in their respective roles. And I really am just kind of like the cheerleader on the side.
You're cracking the whip.
Yeah, and that too. Yeah, and I'll like send little texts like, remember to do this. But yeah, it's been really easy. It's been a dream. And I guess this is my first full production that I've produced. So it's been a fun learning experience for me, too.
Well, congratulations.
That's kind
of cool. Because you have been known to be one of the most awesome stage managers in the past, right?
Well, maybe, sure. Yeah, I definitely, yes. Mostly a stage manager, so this is now even like one more step back. But
do you feel like you're using some of the same skills as a stage manager in your role as producer?
Yeah, definitely. Just, you know, organization and communication. But I'm lucky to have an amazing stage manager, Noah, who really does all of the details, so I can kind of take one step back. But yeah, it's pretty similar, I would say.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Kylie Ferguson, you've been over at Perseverance Theater for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
You came in as a...
Came in as an apprentice on the artistic side, then a fellow, and now I work there as our community partnership manager.
Ah, I see. Okay. And you're directing this production.
Yes, I am.
It's five women wearing the same dress. It's opening next Friday night, May 2nd, at McPheeters Hall from Juno Ghostlight Theater. What is this play about?
What isn't this play about? So, you know, just imagine your normal Knoxville, Tennessee wedding in 1993. A little drama here, some surprise action there, some familial secrets get revealed.
Why are they all wearing the same dress?
Is that a spoiler?
No, not a spoiler.
They're bridesmaids.
Okay, no, so it's set at a wedding.
It is set at a wedding.
All right.
And no one in that dress wants to be at this wedding.
Oh,
I see. It is a lot of bonding of the wedding of the century happening in the background, but it really focuses in on the relationships between these women and their own personal discoveries, dealing with isolation, dealing with friendship, dealing with a lot of other things.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what is the idea around, like, the... It's a wedding, right? So it's a wedding. But is there like, a plot?
Yeah, I would say so.
I mean, or is it more character-driven?
It's definitely very character-driven.
Okay.
If you've ever been to a wedding before, you're definitely going to note the, like, okay, this is where we do the bouquet toss. This is where the wedding part happened. But it is a lot of these characters just, like, coming in and being like, you would not believe what is happening on the outside.
Okay.
And then we get to deal with how those events affect the characters, both, like, personally, with their relationships between each other. Because there also is a mix of these characters that have known each other for a long time and then these characters that are just coming in of being like, who are y'all? What is happening here?
Mm.
So we also get to dive into some of that discovery.
And what does dramedy mean?
Oh, boy. So it's such a funny show. It is a super funny, hilarious show, but it deals with some really heavy topics. So there's definitely a moment where it's comedy, 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 and it feels like we almost free fall into like, whoa, we're suddenly having a very serious conversation here because a lot of people use comedy to mask like hidden feelings or even like serious discussions. That's just how they cope. And that is definitely true for a lot of the characters in the show of they are using humor and comedy to deflect, but also reveal some like very personal feelings.
And Sarah, you as the producer, I know I saw a note that this is recommended for a certain age group and up. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we put a content advisory on it. We advise 16 and up, you know, with parental discretion, of course. It's a funny show. It was written in the 90s. There's a lot of crude language, a lot of sexual jokes. So there are just like crude humor. And then there are also some intense themes. And I don't think it's a spoiler because it's good for people to know. There are some themes of abortion in the play and themes of sexual assault. So
okay.
We just want people to know that going in. So that they're not surprised.
So basically you're going to make me laugh and then you're going to punch me in the gut.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah, that's the idea. Okay, cool. And Hedy Laverne, board president, but also actor in this production.
Yeah.
What role are you playing, and what is their main problem or issue? What do they got problems with?
What issues doesn't she have? I'm playing a character called Mindy, and she is the sister of the groom. She's the only one in the show not really connected to the bride, and she does not like the bride. But who does in this show? That's why we're all upstairs.
Is the bride a character?
No.
The bride is one of the most talked about characters that you never see.
That you never see. Yeah, I like that idea. I like that idea.
So my character is trying to find her place within the group. She's a bit of an outsider in her own family as well. So, just trying to navigate that. She's very drawn to the food table. She loves snacks. She eats throughout the whole play and is just very, very much eating her feelings. I'd say she definitely uses humor as a defense mechanism. And so I get to have some really fun little moments, which I'm excited
about. So how are you doing the food? Are you eating actual food?
Yeah. So I also have a lot of tummy trouble and a lot of foods I can eat. So we talked to the prop person about things I can and can't eat. And we've created a menu of food I can eat. It's like finger foods and things like that. So things that I can just take bites of during, hopefully not choke throughout the show. I'm really nervous I'm going to choke in the show. I'll try not to.
No, you won't choke on the show. I guarantee it. That's a solid guarantee from Juno Afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, you are not the only actor in this production. Can you tell us who your compatriots are?
Yeah. So it's five women wearing the same dress, but there is one extra fella in the show as well. So we have Tai Yamaoka playing the one guy who pops up near the end. And then the sister of the bride is played by Annika Adamus, and then we've got Cadence Ward playing the cousin of the bride. We have Skiba Wadi playing the former best friend of the bride, and then we have Becca Gegin playing the former, I don't want to say this, but I will because it's what it is, ugly best friend of the bride. that's her own words in the show, her character. So that's our little group, and then I'm the sister of the groom.
Cool. And this is written by Alan Ball,
yeah,
who people may or may not know. I'm actually getting long in the tooth, so people may not remember this show, 6 Feet Under,
which is
one of the best series on television ever. It was from, like, what, the early 2000s, maybe?
Yeah.
Late?
Was it, like, 6 or 7 seasons, too?
It was, like five or six. Yeah, something like that. It was a long time.
Right.
It's where you get the former, you get Michael C. Hall,
yep,
who's more famously known for Dexter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's about a funeral home family, and it's very family oriented.
Yeah.
And
so character-driven as well.
Character-driven,
yeah,
humorous.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you find, and I know Alan has also written a couple other plays, I think, mm-hmm, too, but do you find that his sense of humor is relatable to people who might have seen a show like 6 Feet Under in terms of, I'm thinking about who should come to see this show, right?
Yeah, I mean, so he wrote that, and he also wrote American Beauty, the movie, mm-hmm, American Beauty, and he wrote another movie a couple years ago called Uncle Frank, and he's very, he is very character-driven and making fun of the kind of upper middle class types and, mm-hmm, and their dark secrets and things like that. So that is definitely themes in this show. So yeah, if you like that kind of style and if you're into delving deeply into characters, then yeah, I would definitely recommend that.
And Sarah, give us the rundown of when, where, how.
Oh, yes. So we are opening next Friday, May 2nd at McFeeters Hall. That weekend we will have a performance on May 2nd, Friday at 7 p.m. We will have two performances on Saturday, May 3rd, one at 2 p.m. and one at 7 p.m. And then we will have a matinee at 3 p.m. on that Sunday. So that's May 2nd through 4th. And then we have another weekend of shows. And we have a performance on the Wednesday, and that will be a pay-as-you-can at 7 p.m. And then we have a performance on Friday, May 9th, and Friday and Saturday, May 10th. So we run from May 2nd to May 10th at McFeeters Hall, and you can get tickets at JunoGhostLight.com.
JunoGhostLight.com is the place. And Kylie, what's it like to direct these five women and I guess
Ty.
One other dude.
And Ty.
And Ty.
Oh, it's been really, really wonderful. So I've been directing for a while. That's actually what I went to college for and everything. But it's been really great getting to dive in with this community here in town of, like, some faces you may have seen on stage before. Some are some new faces on stage. But similar to Sarah in the producing role, I think some of it is just funneling all of these great actors' energies and bits and ideas into a cohesive piece.
Beast.
Any
wedding is a beast, yeah,
any,
sure.
Ain't it just?
Yeah.
But really just trying to create that cohesive arc and, like, making sure that the boat is going in the right direction, but mostly just facilitating and going, that's a great idea. We should keep doing that. That's amazing.
Right.
But also, as Sarah's mentioned, a lot of it is Noah also keeping us on track and going, okay, guys, let's wrap up the bits and let's keep moving forward.
And you have Noah, who's your stage manager,
yeah,
also works with you at Perseverance,
yes,
right?
Yes, she does.
Is an apprentice this year.
Fellow, actually, this
fellow.
Year. Fellow. Yeah.
And then you also have Annika,
yes,
who's also from...
Perseverance,
is over there,
yeah,
as an apprentice.
As an apprentice this
okay,
year.
Okay, okay. I don't know the schedule of apprentice to fellow to full-time employment. I don't know how that works, but it's
you
all
and
good.
Me both. It's,
it, you're there. You're all there working hard. I know that.
Yeah.
That's great. That is so cool. Is there anything that else we need to know about this production that we haven't mentioned yet? I love do you want to shout out the designers, maybe?
Sure, yeah.
Because you said you have a full design team.
We do. So our scenic designer is Amanda Kraft, and this is her first time as scenic designer, and she's doing an amazing job. We're so happy with all the work she's done. Our lighting designer is Kainoa Thole, who is 13 years old. Salisa Thole and Jeffrey Thole are his parents, and he has been absolutely amazing. We're really excited to have his lighting design. Our sound design is Reed. Help me with the last name, Kylie.
Gardnier. I'm so sorry, Reed.
Sorry, Reed. Reed is, I think, working for the legislature, but he has, like, a extensive music and sound background, so he's our sound designer. Our costume designer is Kate Bergery. Should have practiced this.
Sorry, Kate.
Sorry, Kate as well.
Kate's amazing, too.
Kate also is an apprentice at Perseverance as well, and the production side, and she is actually making all the dresses from scratch. She's making five bridesmaid dresses, and I'll say this with all the love of my heart, Kate, five ugly bridesmaid dresses.
Yeah, and I get to try mine on tomorrow.
That's
awesome.
So,
very exciting.
And then we have props is Roman Mahanyu, who has been in multiple JGLT production and then multiple productions around town. He's mostly acting. I think this is his first time doing props.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. And then I think, let me just make sure I'm not forgetting anyone. Oh, and then we have an intimacy coordinator of Hannah Grace Jareb, who has a lot of experience in that realm as well. And yeah, it's been a really great team and just really fun. There's, like, pink ribbon everywhere and, like, champagne and flowers and, like, it's a fun, like, spring show. The set is a bedroom in the South in the 90s, so it's going to be just a lot of pink pillows and
that's
fluff.
Cool. Yeah. And final shout out, I'm looking at the poster, who was the designer of the poster?
Richard Carter designed our poster. He is on the JGLT board. He does pretty much every poster does, and he honestly is so valuable. And if you look closely at the poster, the women in the poster are the real cast members.
Oh, that's
drawn.
Cool.
So you'll be able to hold it up at the show and be like, wait, that's them. So,
awesome. Yeah. Talented artists. Mm-hmm. Five women wearing the same dress at Juno Ghostlight Theater. You can go to junoghostlight.com. It opens next Friday, May 2nd, runs through the 10th. You can find out more information at the website, all those other details. I really appreciate you all coming in today, Hedy, Kylie, and Sarah. Appreciate you. Gunnath
Cheesh.
Thank you. Gunnath Cheesh.
Thank you for having us.
Up next, we'll talk with AEYC about the Early Learning Fair happening this Friday. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kehinok John Martin. And the word this week is tlach.
Tlach.
That means red cedar. And here is a sentence.
Kutia. Kutia on de sich, yes, slach.
They made totem poles with red cedar. Let's hear it again.
Slach.
Red cedar. Gunashchish to Khne Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kehinuk John Martin was Takdane Tan and a child of a Kagwantan man. He is from the Hunakawu, the people of Huna, and was a contributing elder and speaker at many language immersion gatherings in Glacier Bay, Yakutat, and Juneau. He attended boarding school in Shkakwe, Skagway, and attended Gonzaga University.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com. This is Juneau Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us on the live stream behind the scenes on KTOO's Instagram, YouTube, or Facebook pages. The Early Learning Fair is a valuable resource. It's a fair that connects Juneau families with young children to important programs, services, and upcoming activities. This event will take place at the Diamond Park Fieldhouse on Friday, April 25th. That's this Friday, from 4 to 6:30 p.m. And I am joined now in studio by Izzy Ensinger to share more. Gunashchish ha igudi. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio today. Izzy, how are you? Wasiati.
Pretty good. How are you?
Awesome. Move that microphone. Just grab it and pull it towards you a little bit. Yep. There you go. That's awesome. So I just sort of gave the quick rundown of what it is, but can you expand on what is the Early Learning Fair?
Yes. So, like you said, it's a free annual event for families. This is actually our 17th year doing it. And it's specifically for families with kids 0 to 6, but older siblings are absolutely welcome. It's a chance for families to come and learn about resources that are available to them here in Juneau. So there's a variety of organizations that will be present. And a key thing that will be happening is any families with kids that are 5 by September 1st can get registered for kindergarten at this event through the school district.
Oh, that's excellent. Okay, that's awesome to know that they can get registered at this event. I know I'm going to be talking to somebody later this week about kindergarten, or maybe it's next week. Anyway, I'm talking about that because you're getting, if you're a parent and you don't know what's happening, right? Like, that's part of why you would go to a fair like this, because, you know, your kid might be entering school, but you've never even figured out what does that mean and all that kind of stuff. So what kind of people and organizations can people find at the fair?
So we'll have 21 organizations. I've got them all listed on that poster. I don't know if you have it up, but
I will.
Perfect. But it includes Juneau Public Health, Reach ILP, Juneau Public Library, Search Dental, Juneau Family Birth Center, Parents as Teachers, Be Smart, Juneau Co-op Preschool, Kin Support Program, Baby Raven Reads, and even more. So
Wow, yeah. That's amazing. That's a lot of different organizations, and it covers, seems like, a wide range of health as well as activities, mm-hmm. as well as all kinds of stuff, speech and physical therapy. Mm-hmm. NAMI will be there as well.
Yeah.
That's cool.
They'll be handing out free books, I believe.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. And you can learn about the community charter school. Mm-hmm. Now, this one is really fun. The Dolly Parton's Imagination Library. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So for those that don't know, it's a program that's actually locally done through AUIC. But it's a program for families where they get a monthly book sent to them from Dolly Parton.
I just love this. We talked about this, I think, last year sometime, which I just think is awesome.
It's the best. But yeah, they'll have a table at this event. And actually, at the table, you can find out more about a fundraiser that we're doing for that program.
Okay.
This June, which is the Dolly Dash. And kids can submit a drawing that might be used as a the sticker for that fundraiser.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. That's really fun. Awesome. Okay. And so besides meeting all of the organizations and learning all of that kind of stuff, what else is going on at the fair? I know we're talking about the Early Learning Fair. It's this Friday from 4 to 6:30.
Correct.
And it's at the Diamond Field House, right? Okay. Just for people to recognize that.
Yes. So we'll have all the turf toys out. So if you've ever been to a family fun night at the turf, it's all those toys, which are phenomenal. And we've also got prizes for everyone that wants one, which are amazing.
I love that. No drawing. I love that. You just get a prize.
Yeah. There's like it's like a prize ticket. So you just walk around and check off. Like if you do the hearing screening, which I'll explain in a second, or anything like that, you can check off what you've done, and then you can just get a prize. And we got most of them, if not all, from Imagination Library. Or, no, not Imagination, Imagination Station. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And like I mentioned, we've got some free screenings. So we'll have the vision screening, which will be through the Lions Club, and hearing screening through Parents as Teachers.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. And so you can get your screenings, because what is the age of what age do you recommend that people come to the fair up to?
So it's specifically for families with kids 0 to 6. So a big thing for like the older kids is the registering for kindergarten, which again, just bring your immunization records and birth certificate to get registered from the school district. Which we also will actually have a pre-registration option there, too, if anybody doesn't bring their info for that.
Right. So they can at least get a little bit of,
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Start the process.
Yeah. So, they should definitely stop by that table. But for younger kids, parents that are expecting or they have infants, we've got lots of resources. So for pregnant families and toddlers and such.
That's awesome. Okay, so AEYC, tell me a little bit just about that organization.
So AEYC is a nonprofit here in Juneau that specifically works with families with 0 to 5. But one of the things that they do is the Partnership for Families and Children, which is what I do. And that's focused on just families, period. So 0 to 18 families.
Okay.
And, yeah, they have a bunch of different programs, such as Parents as Teachers and the Imagination Library.
Okay. So how do we follow AEYC and or figure out how to get information about the Early Learning Fair?
So AEYC has a Facebook and Instagram, and we actually made a Facebook event for the Early Learning Fair. And you can find out more also in the Juneau Parent Bulletin, which is available on the AEYC website, which is AEYC-SEA.org.
AEYC-SEA.org.
Mm-hmm. It's a long name.
Yeah, no, that's all good. I just want parent. I mean, you can also just probably put it in your favorite search engine and find it.
Sure.
And what does AEYC stand for?
The Association of the Education of Young Children.
That's a good quiz for you, right?
Thank you.
No, I think that's right. I think that's right. It's pretty cool because it's a wonderful organization. Because I think new parents, you know, you never know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You got to figure it all out, especially if you're like it's your first kid, and then you have no idea where all these resources are. And so AEYC can serve as a wonderful connector to all of those resources out there. So if you know someone who is having a child or has a child and doesn't know where to go, that's the place to direct them, right?
This is a great event for that, because if you do have kids, they can go play with the toys and you can do the lap and get all the info on different resources.
Yeah.
And if you're expecting, same thing, you can come by and see all of these resources all at once. It's a phenomenal chance to learn more.
I remember when I was first having my child and before they're even born, you're thinking, where are they going to go to school?
Yeah.
How do I get in line for school? What's the wait list going to be like or whatever it might be? So that's kind of cool. Izzy Ensinger, thank you so much. It's the Early Learning Fair. It's happening this Friday at the Diamond Park Field House from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Sounds like AEYC is everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, all that other wonderful jazz, or you can just go to AEYC-CEA.org.
S-E-A.
Oh, what did I say?
You said C.
Oh, I think
but
I said C.
But it spells C like the ocean. It's,
oh, that's what was in my brain. A-E-Y-C-S-E-A. Because that stands for Southeast Alaska, right? Yeah. A-E-Y-C-S-E-A.org. Okay, yeah. We got it. All right. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing about that event. Gunath Cheesh, I really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you.
Okay. Up next, we are going to talk to a couple of different folks about the National Primrose Show and Conference from the American Primrose Society happening right here in Juneau. You are listening to Juneau Afternoon from KTOO. But first, a savory moment.
Step in to the savory moment. It started with two Arctic Air freezers that hitched a ride from Seattle on an Alaska Marine Lines barge. If these two appliances, boasting temps of negative 15 degrees and equipped to store 800 pounds of frozen goods, had known they were about to make history, they might have kept a journal. Day one, can't see anything. We're shrink-wrapped on a pallet, still inside our boxes. At least we're together. Day six, in Sitka now, in a warehouse on Lincoln Street, plugging in and humming. Not sure what the plan is, but we're no longer surrounded by cardboard. We're really thinking outside the box now. Ha. Day 21, that's more like it. We're stuffed to the gills with 50-pound boxes of seafood. Nothing a freezer likes more than a full stomach. Time for a nap. Day 28. Someone keeps removing boxes and replacing them with bags of vacuum-packed halibut, lingcod, rockfish. Half share, full share. Day 30. The warehouse is hopping. Each time footsteps approach, our lids open to excited voices. What an incredible service. I've never been able to afford halibut. How should I cook this lingcod? Day 90. It's been a busy summer. Salmon started showing up last week. We're still not sure what's going on, but it appears to involve seafood sales. More to come. Day 120. We finally figured it out. We're part of Alaska's first community-supported fishery, a subscription program that offers monthly shares of wild seafood. We're famous. Why are we always the last to know? 15 years later, retirement isn't so bad. The two of us are holding frozen goods for a couple of families now. Still lots of fish, but also venison and bags of wild blueberries. Apparently, the new warehouse freezers are bigger, colder, and have better seals. Blah, blah, blah. We're happy right here telling war stories. It might be about time to write that memoir. Find the full recipe for seafood chowder from Alaska's first community-supported fishery program at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
Hansen Gress, ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakhaya ha anikak.
You know what you want, and I know what you need. To spread your wings and fly away from this place, be free. From this place, be free. Oh, peace was just a dream I had. Here's a feather I have found, lying there so helplessly on cold and barren ground. On cold and
you're listening to Community Supported Juneau Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. That's a little Buddy Tabor right there. The American Primrose Society is hosting their national show and conference in Juneau this year. A pretty big deal. And I've got some folks here who are going to help us talk about it. We have in the house, we don't, unfortunately, Ginger Hudson couldn't make it from the Juneau, the Jensen Olsen Arboretum. But I do have in the house, I have Pat Hartman, who is the American Primrose president, as well as the local chapter president for the American Primrose Society. Gunnath Cheesh for being here today. Wasiati, how are you, Pat?
I'm doing well, Boston. Thank you.
Awesome. And I have a voice very familiar to KTOO listeners over the years, Ed Bajarski, who had done Garden Talk with Matt Miller in Morning Edition for many years, also was on Juneau Afternoon for a couple years doing Garden Talk as well. And you are with the Southeast Alaska Master Gardeners Association, as well as one of the judges. We were joking around beforehand, and you're listed as the lead judge, but then you're saying you're the lead judge because you're the oldest judge.
Yeah, I've been doing it the longest time out of anybody. So we're trying to recruit new judges.
We need
new, younger judges. How's that?
That sounds good. Well, Gunnath Cheesh, for being here today. It's a pleasure to have you both in the studio. And also, for those who are enjoying the live stream, we have some plants that I'm assuming these are primula that you have brought in today.
Indeed, yes. So these are, that one is Kathy O'Brien, and Valentine, which is a Bellarina type. And we have, I got to remind myself, Devin James, was hybridized by a woman, a Primrose Society person from Uzinki.
Okay, cool.
You know where that is, right?
Uzinki, I do not know where Uzinki
is. Okay, it's a little island off Kodiak, where grew primulas. It has really similar weather to Juneau.
That's awesome.
Cool and wet.
What I want to know is, this is a big deal, Pat, that the national show and conference is here, is it not?
It is. We have not had a national show here since 2017.
Okay.
Some of that, of course, the COVID years, but it's a lot of work to put on, especially the way this show is this time, the format. We have 3 days that we're doing. We're starting on the 16th. On the 17th, we have the conference going on that I've sent you the information on. And then we have a keynote speaker, and we also have 6 other topics that will be being discussed on Primula. So that's a rarity. You might get 2 in a conference or a national conference nowadays, but we've got jam-packed with 6. So all sorts of things.
Okay, for the black thumbs like me, what is a primula?
Ed, do you want?
Sure. So we actually have wild primula in Alaska. So it is a grouping kind of like lilies or buttercups, which are all plenty common here. But again, hostas. Yeah, there's another one. So primulas are a genus, and there are many species and varieties, all colors, shapes, and sizes around Juneau, blooming, well, from a few weeks ago into September or October. And there's wild ones on the mountain up above us on Mount Roberts. And they grow all the way to, Utqiagvik and Kotzebue. Wild ones out there. And one more little bit of trivia. Years back, with the help of the Juneau Garden Club, Juneau was declared by the state legislature the Primrose Capital of Alaska.
Well, there you go. Another little pat on the back for Juneau, I guess.
Well, it is, and they are. So Ginger's not here today, but I'm going to plug one of the things that we're starting off on the conference is there's going to be a guided tour. Ginger's going to do a guided tour out at the Arboretum starting at 1 o'clock. That's free to the public. And the Arboretum is the holder of the national, they're the nationally accredited holder of the genus Primula. And they are the only one in the nation that has that classification. So throughout the United States, like you might have one place that has hostas, one place that has a type of iris. we in Juneau are the only ones that have that accreditation for holder of the primula.
Wow.
And so there's probably, I'm going to say there's maybe at least 250, depending on, give or take, depending on what the winter has done. And naturally occurring, there's about 420 different species of primula in that genus. And probably, having had to research all these, I'm going to say there's probably well over 7,000 different cultivars. So it's a very huge classification. Not everything grows everywhere. They grow on all the continents other than, I don't know if they're native to Australia, might be the only one in Antarctica.
But they grow from 15,000 feet in the Himalayas to sea level here.
Now, would I be able to, because to me, this is just me, I see flowers, right? Mm-hmm. I see different kinds of flowers, but how do I know that they're related, or what makes a primula unique to some other kind of plant or flower?
Botanically, so there are, long ago and far away, long time ago in college, five petals and five stamens and a pistil is real basics. There's a lot more to it than that. And there are certain of the characteristics. It's hard, can be hard to see, especially when you look at a double one. I mean, there's way more than just five petals. But the standard wild type, which are native to primula, the primrose, the English primrose, is native to England and parts of Europe, is the classic, which looks very much like a couple of these, usually in pale yellow to white. And then, like I say, they range out from there, and scientists have, over the last 400 years almost, been classifying and reclassifying, and recently they reclassified our local and other place where they grow shooting stars into primula. So naming is changing with some of the genetic testing and that. So it's some are obvious, and there's others. If you go into one of our gardens around Juneau, say, that's a primula? Why? It doesn't look like the standard ones like this.
But I would say come to some of the APS Juneau chapter lectures, or join APS for $26 online, and we can tell you all sorts of different stories about what the different classifications are. Most people in town probably see the pom-pom, what they call pom-pom kind, which are the denticulatas that bloom in the spring. They're probably one of the earliest flowers other than bulbs blooming.
Yeah.
So they're a fascinating group, and you've got a whole spectrum of colors. And I know the Europeans think they have a heads up, but majority of them come, and I say that tongue in cheek, but most of them come through the Sino-Himalayans. There's a lot of them that are in Nepal, Bhutan, China, various other areas. And there's even some that grow down in Africa.
So many of them here. That's really the key.
And this, it's in Juneau, the American Primrose Society National Show. It's May 16th through the 18th. And can you tell us, how do we get registered for that, Pat?
You can, the APS stuff, you can go on Eventbrite Juneau, and you can join there. You can join the American Primrose Society. So from now until the end of the month, we've got another week going where it's $75 for the conference. It's a three-day conference. You're really getting two conferences, because we're also going to pitch for the Master Gardener Conference that's going on. And you can attend any of those that you want. There's a couple of add-ons. One would be, if you're a member of APS, you can also come to a function that is it's called a party in the Primula Patch.
Nice.
And it's from 5 to 8. And our keynote speaker will be there, and a lot of the members, and we have them coming from across the country and other parts of Alaska. So you can come have a great time and meet a lot of people. That closes at the 7th. It's kind of the cutoff date is the 1st of May.
Of May
on
to,
that
to get the for early the part, registration?
For the party and for the early registration.
Okay.
And then the other way would be, so there's the APS side. You can contact junoprimula@gmail.com. If you just think Juno Primula Gmail, then you can get us that way, and we can send you details. And we have the show going on where we can bring you can bring your plants in to be judged. And there are rules on that. If you're interested, you can either go to the APS website or email us at the Juno chapter, and we can. Which was that email I just gave you, and we can give you the details on bringing your plants in, because there are criteria to be met on that. The other place...
You don't have to be a member of the Primrose Society either. Anybody with primroses in their yard, I don't know, you'd want to steal them from your neighbors. You're supposed to have you're supposed
them.
To have owned them for 6 months or more. But anybody can enter and win ribbons and more.
It's three.
3 months.
3 months.
Okay.
3 months. Okay.
Three months. And they do need to be in like a black pot. It does not have to be terracotta. In England, they only have terracotta pots. And what you do want to do is have a clean pot. You do want to bring it in between 8 and 9:15 on Saturday morning, and they'll help you classify that and see, make sure that it's in the right container and sitting the way it's supposed to. And then the judging will occur, and that's going to be open to the public between 12 and 5 so they can come see what has been on display, what has been judged, see who the winners were. And that's free to the public. So if you're kind of interested but you're not sure what you want to do, I would say come check out the show and be ready for next year's show, because the chapters normally do a show every year.
And the show is on which day?
The show is on Saturday.
Saturday from 12 to 5.
Correct.
Okay.
And there
will be some plants for sale, some primrose for sale, too.
As well.
And we have vendors at the conference, too, so we're excited about that. We're going to have plants for sale and trinkets and treasures for your garden, like garden art on that. We've got some really fun vendors. Slugs, that's one of
slug,
the...
Slug traps, yes.
That are great, and there's going to be... Master Gardeners are doing a... lecture on slugs, invasive,
that's right.
More information about slugs than you can ever imagine.
I love that.
Yep.
Matt and I got a lot of replies, comments on our
on
when
the
we
slugs.
Talked about slugs.
Yeah.
Yes,
but let me give you Southeast Alaska Master Gardeners is the other one. You can't buy tickets to the Primula party there. You can buy tickets to the conference. Same thing with that. $75 goes up on the first to $100.
Okay.
We're trying to get you to come early and commit instead of waiting to see if it's going to rain or not. And that will get you into the workshop. You do need to pre-register for that. It will get you into the conference things for Master Gardeners that's going on Friday night that Ed will talk about in just a second. That website is www.seak-mastergardener.org.
Awesome. That's great. Excellent. Well, we are unfortunately out of time, but that was, it's such a wonderful, like, awesome way to celebrate spring, right? Like, it's
it
a
is.
Wonderful way to celebrate spring, because this does happen every year. You have a show, but this is the national conference as well, right?
Correct.
So that's adding this layer to it. So if you're a gardener and you want to have your primulas judged, you can get involved in this. Or if you just are interested and you have some taste of it and you don't want to necessarily do the whole conference, I love that. Pat says you can go on Saturday between 12 and 5 and just kind of see what is happening with all of the judging. And Ed is judging, of course.
I'll be supervising the judges and settling disputes if necessary.
That's because he brings so many flowers. I will say the keynote speaker, though, for Master Gardeners, they are bringing in Charles Dowding from England for the no-dig gardening. So that's another one that check us out on
Yeah,
the
there's
Eventbrite
so much going on here. Yeah.
The website. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's Like, you should have given us 30 minutes.
That's right. Yeah, I could have talked about the electric fencing lady, among other things.
There's all kinds of things. There's so much that you can find out online. Search that Eventbrite Juno, and or go to those websites, AmericanPrimroseSociety.org. I think it's also linked over on the Jensen Olson Arboretum site. There's all kinds of places you can find this information. But, Pat, Ed, I really appreciate you coming in today. I really appreciate you being here. Gwyneth Cheesh, and I don't know, what do you say in flowers? You don't say break a leg. What do you say? Like, happy harvest?
Happy growing.
Happy growing. I love that. I appreciate you being here.
If you're not killing flowers, you're not gardening.
Gwyneth Cheesh, thank you for coming. This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
For KTOO, I'm Mike Lane. Today is Wednesday, April 23rd, and on this day, back in 1930, a fire broke out just before 7 a.m. in a two-story building at 2nd and Seward Streets downtown. It was known as the Maloney Block and was occupied by many shops and offices. The entire building and most of the contents were lost in the fire. The event was and is known as one of the most damaging fires in Juneau's history. Today, the Simpson Building stands in place of the Maloney Block. Now you know. This is KTOO.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
Your bank account balances on a strict budget. Your body does too. This is Sandra Tsinglo with the lowdown on science. Did you know your fat follows a 24-hour cycle of energy use? But who oversees all this metabolic bookkeeping? Enter Aaron Douglas and team from Trinity College. They observed mice eating at different times to identify signaling molecules made after meals. And immune cells produce IL-17 on a strict schedule. It tracks your energy budget, prompting fat cells to release stored energy when needed. Mice lacking IL-17 signals resisted weight gain, even on high-fat diets. Targeting these day-night cycles to alter fat storage could unlock new obesity treatments. When it comes to your body's budget, IL-17 is the accountant you want, keeping your energy accounts in the black.
You're listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Hawk Bay, and online at kto.org. I'm Boston Christopher. I am joined now in the studio by two people from the Southeast Alaska Independent Living, otherwise known as SAIL. I have in the house, I have Izzy Barnwell, Gwyneth Cheesh, for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course. And then I also have Bridget Thompson. Gwyneth Cheesh, wasiti. How are you, Bridget?
Doing pretty good.
Awesome. Okay, scoot up just a little bit more there, Izzy.
Sure.
You're my second Izzy today.
I know, I saw that.
Yeah, that's so good. It's so fun to have Izzy's in the house. Yeah. All right. So, Bridget, give me just a quick overview. We've had SAIL on the show many times, but give everyone a reminder of what SAIL does.
Yeah, so SAIL is, we're a center for independent living. So we work with people who are aging and have disabilities all throughout Southeast Alaska. So we've got the location here in Juneau, but we have locations all across Southeast from Yakutat down to Metlakatla. And so we provide a wide array of services for people who are aging and have a disability.
Absolutely. And I always give a shout out because you all helped me out when I had broken my leg at one point. But you provide equipment for folks on a rental basis, which doesn't cost anything. And you helped me out with like a walker and like a shower chair and all this great stuff. And what a fantastic service that you all provide there at SAIL. So Gwyneth Cheesh for being in our community and making that happen. And what do you do there, Bridget?
I am the HR and operations director at SAIL.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. And Izzy Barnwell, what do you do at SAIL?
I am the recreation and employment specialist at
okay.
SAIL.
Okay. Yeah. And what does that entail?
Kind of a wide variety of things, but my job is a lot of spending time in the schools around Juneau, kind of teaching like soft skills and employment skills high school and middle school students who experience disabilities.
Okay.
And then the recreation part of that is we spend a lot of our weekends during the winter up at Eagle Crest, and we do like challenge course stuff during the summer, and yeah, recreating throughout the year.
That's nice. And yeah, you mentioned summer. There is like a summer youth program that you all do, yeah?
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So we run a 8-week summer work program for high school students. It's like 14 through 21. So basically, if you're a student with a disability of really like super broad definition of disability, you can apply to be a part of our summer work program, and it's a partnership with Trail Mix and the Zach Gordon Youth Center. And we hire about 10 students to work on trails around Juneau and work on our employment skills and our soft skills, but mostly just build trails and have fun outside.
So people can get paid. Hiring them.
We're hiring them. Yeah. It's $15 an hour. 30 hours a week for 8 weeks. The program starts June 2nd and runs through the end of July. It's a pretty sweet deal.
That is a sweet deal. And how do I get more information on that? How do I apply?
You can go to our SAIL website, sail.org.
Sailinc.org.
SAIL Inc. Yeah. SAILINC.org.
Yeah. There's a link to apply on our employment services page, but I think there's also a, just like on the front page there, there's a little link to apply as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And is there other, now I know this is specifically for, you said students 14 to 21. I love that you defined that disability can be a wide range of things, because I think when people hear that, they often think of, oh, it's some kind of physical disability, but there's a whole range of disabilities that you can find out about at SAIL that might qualify for this summer employment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, okay. It's like, yeah, really anything.
Okay. And then, Bridget, you're the HR person. Is there other opportunities for folks to work at SAIL too?
Yeah. Thanks for mentioning that. We have a couple of different job opportunities right now and wanted to do more than the summer work program, like for longer term employment. That's a temporary position during the summer, but we also have a couple of full-time positions open, and those are all available on our website too.
Okay, what kinds of things?
So we've got our development director position is open.
Okay.
And we also have everything at SAIL has an acronym. So it's called the Voice Specialist, but it's somebody who works with veterans to keep them in their homes. And it's usually veterans that have a disability and would need to be in long-term, like in nursing level of care. But this program actually keeps them at their home, and it's a really, really awesome program. So this person would be meeting with veterans and their families and helping them get enrolled in the program. And then we also have we call it a resource specialist, which is just, it's like an awesome role for somebody who's really connected in the community or interested in what kind of resources are out there and want to get people who call into SAIL or come into SAIL connected to the resources that they need.
That is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
How many people work at SAIL?
So we've got 34 throughout the Southeast area, but we in the Juneau office. The Juneau office is our larger office, and we have about 15 in the Juneau office.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an awesome place to work. Really great work culture. I think one of our favorite things is we have a really dog friendly office. So
dog friendly here at KTO.
Yeah. it's like one of the best perks, I think, in my opinion. But yeah, so if you stop by SAIL as somebody who's needing services, or if you work there, you're usually greeted by a friendly dog to pet. So
I love that. Well, yeah. SAIL does so much for the community, so many important programs that you have, and it sounds like not only is there summer employment for kids 14 to 21 with a disability in the work program, but there's other opportunities that are also available. And of course, you can find out all that at saleinc.org. I really appreciate you all being here today. Izzy and Bridget, Gwyneth Cheech, for coming in.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, we learn how you can run for local office right here in Juno, plus information on Clinkett and Ida's book drop tour. That's it for today. Gwyneth Cheech for joining us. Bye-bye.
You're listening to KTOO 104.3 Juno and KAUK 91.7 Juno, Auk Bay.